Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's our special guest with today's message.
A lot of times we look for God in all the wrong places. We look for him in the old places, the closed places, and even the dead places. We look for God in the places that have been put to rest. Today's message is titled, He is Not There. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you. Father, saturate us with you. Use me to pour your healing, your wholeness, your grace, and your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So be it. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. There are all kinds of losses. And at some point or another, we will all suffer some kind of loss. Loss can be very difficult. It can take the color out of your world and leave you barren. And if we're not careful, we can get lost in loss. But what's important to realize is that many times it is because we lose ourselves that we find ourselves. And if we're open, God will, not he may, but he will bring a gain out of that loss. You see, when we deal with loss in a healthy way, it can help you see things very differently. Arthur Schopenhauer wisely said, mostly it is loss which teaches us about the worth of things. Loss is fragile and renders us frail. And for this reason, when people are struggling with some sort of loss, they do things out of character. Ulysses Grant said, "My failures have been errors of judgment, not of intent." You see, when someone is trying to work through loss, sometimes they will do foolish things, and it's not that they mean to do it. Most people don't mean to do foolish or hurtful things. No. Most people don't desire to hurt. They desire to heal. And when you're in a state of loss, that basically means that you're in a state of pain. And pain is a distorter. Pain distorts you, and it distorts how you see things around you. To put it differently, pain presents you or your circumstance as permanently broken to you. And so, you act or respond as though it is permanently broken. You forget who you are and whose you are. In effect, loss can threaten to break you, but it can also break you open. Loss is a crucial crossroad of choice. You can choose to allow the loss to break you, or you can choose to allow it to build you. About 2 weeks before my 25th birthday, the day began as though it would be like every other normal day. Little did I know that by evening, my life would be changed forever. You see, the day before, my only brother, Anthony, had called me. He was talking about some things that upset him. Towards the end of the conversation, I said to him, "Why don't you come and spend the night with your sister? I'm cooking one of your favorite meals. I've got several friends coming over. Come and spend the night with your sis." And he said, okay. He did. We had dinner. We hung out. And we went to sleep. The following morning, very, very early in the morning, way before it was time for me to get up to go to work, my brother knocked on my bedroom door, and through the door, he said, "Elena, I'm going to go home. I will lock up for you, okay?" And I said, okay. You know, I had told my brother I loved him thousands of times. And I remember a lot of things about that night. And there are a lot of things I don't. And I cannot remember if I told him I loved him that morning. I had no idea that it would be the last time I would hear my brother's voice. So it's time for me to get up and go to work, get ready, go to work. Early afternoon, I start getting this strong desire to call my brother, just a sense of speaking to him. But it was the middle of the day, and he would have been at work. This was before cell phones, but anyway, I gave in, and I went and I called him, and I left him a voicemail. See, that day was a very filled day for me. Some friends had purchased some Mariah Carey tickets, and so after work, I was picked up, and we went to the Mariah Carey concert. While at the concert, again, I start feeling this sense of just wanting to hear my brother's voice. I just wanted to know how his day was going. So I pulled away from the concert and I called him again. Now it was evening, so he should have been home, but he wasn't. So I left him another voicemail. And I figured maybe he's just hanging out with some friends. So I went back to the concert. Once it was done, I go back home. It's late now. I rushed to my answering machine to see if my brother had called. He had not. Now that was very unlike my brother. My brother always returned my calls, and we spoke daily. In my family, we all have one another's home keys. And so I decided I was going to go to my brother's apartment and check on him. And so I did. I went to Uptown Manhattan, and on the ride up in the elevator, I started to get this sense that something was wrong. And it started to get progressively stronger as I got higher. Then I approached his door, unlocked the door, and when I went in, to my devastating surprise, I found my brother deceased. My brother Anthony had committed suicide. Needless to say, my life was never the same. I had some decisions to make. I had some decisions to make as I tried to navigate and grow through that loss. And so I decided some things. I decided that God could make the losses in my life holy losses. I knew that my brother's death didn't end there. He didn't die there. Yes, he was living with God, and that is glorious enough, but he was also going to live differently through me. His life affected me, and I would affect others, and so his effect was not gone. Although his loss hurt me massively, and quite frankly, it still does, but it also helped me. It broke me open to things that I probably would not have had the ability to see very differently. So here's a side note, because if there's one, there's one too many. Listen, if you have ever struggled with suicidal thoughts, please don't choose a permanent solution for a temporary problem. Suicide is not a resolution. God has equipped you with every tool you will ever need to work through every challenge you will ever face. God will give you your answer. Back to the story. You see, I had an option. We all have an option. We can be bitter. We can be angry. In fact, we can be a lot of things and we can do a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that we should. The truth is, none of us like it when hurtful things happen to us. Not one of us do. And hurtful things happen to each and every one of us. I may not have liked what has happened, but I trust God with what has happened. You see, I know that that was not God's plan for him, nor was it God's plan for me. So God does what only he can do, and that is work it together for good. Because that is God's plan for you, and that is God's plan for me, to work it all together for good. I believe that there's a purpose in the problem. And if there is no purpose in that problem, then God will work that problem into a purpose. Have you all found Luke chapter 24 yet? Great. Okay, so this is right after the crucifixion. In other words, right after the big loss. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again?'" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and all the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Let's unpack. So here are these precious women bringing their spices to the burial, looking to commemorate God, but not necessarily looking to anticipate from God. They were preparing to put spices on his dead body. And so while they were still focusing on what happened 3 days before, while they were still mourning the loss, God was not. God was in the gain, not the loss. This is the ultimate example of what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. If you notice, these precious women couldn't see beyond his death. They couldn't see that it was not Jesus that had been slain. It was death that had been slain. That through that death, they now had life. And what looked like the end was just the beginning. Those women were bringing spices for his body. In other words, they were trying to preserve his body as much as possible. What they were literally doing was perfuming the corpse. And metaphorically speaking, that is something that we all do at some point or another. We try and preserve something that has died. We try and cover the stench by perfuming the corpse. But here's the thing. With God, there is no corpse. I love what the angels say to the women. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? That's another thing that we do sometimes. We look for the living among the dead. We look for the new things that God is doing in the old places. We go to look for God in the dead places, and God is not there. Thankfully, the women get it, and all the women say, amen. All right. On a serious note, I can't even imagine how overjoyed these women were, but they're about to be doubted. The Bible tells us that when the women tried to tell the apostles that Jesus was no longer at the tomb, it says that they said it seemed like idle tales and they did not believe them. Huh? These are the apostles we're talking about. These are the apostles that saw Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle, but they didn't believe. Huh? Really? They saw him heal the blind. They saw him feed thousands with a little boy's lunch. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him dry up a tree by just talking to it. They saw him make a paralyzed man walk, heal lepers, turn water into wine, heal all kinds of diseases. They saw him raise the dead several times. "Young man, I say to you, arise. Talitha kumi," which means "little girl, arise." And "Lazarus, come forth." but they forgot. And like them, sometimes we forget. Oftentimes, we forget what we need to remember, and we remember what we need to forget. The apostles forgot for a moment, and that's a lot like us today. We know that God is God, but we still have a hard time believing that God is still God when things are hard, when things go wrong, and when things didn't go according to plan. But Peter believed. Peter believed enough to go to the tomb. Peter runs to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying there by themselves. But you cannot stoop down to try and see what has been resurrected, can you? You cannot look down to see what has been lifted up, can you? He wasn't there. He wasn't down there. But what was there? The Bible tells us the linen clothes were down there lying by themselves. I love it. And that's so God. The linen clothes represent a dressing of what has died. And you cannot dress life with death. The linen clothes are now lying there by themselves because the death that it was wrapped around is no longer dead. It broke free. You see, what those linen clothes once represented, they no longer represent. They no longer represent the clothing, the dressing, or the wrappings of what died. No, they represent something very different now. They represent what is alive. They represent that death has been conquered and that Jesus is very much alive. What the devil fails to realize is that you cannot bind God up. You know, Jesus could have made those clothes vanish, but he didn't. He wanted us to see that death could not hold him. Death didn't conquer Jesus. No, Jesus conquered death. And so Peter goes and marvels as he should, but he does so by himself. Sometimes you just have to marvel at what God is doing in your life by yourself. You must see for yourself and rejoice for yourself. Because sometimes others are not ready to receive what God has done and what God is doing, but you cannot allow what others are not willing to receive stop you from seeing and receiving what God is doing. My friend, it didn't end at the cross. It began at the cross. God is not at the places that were put to rest. He's not at the buried places. He's not at the dead places. He's not at the tomb. Stop going to the tomb and begin looking outside of the tomb. Stop looking for what has been laid to rest and begin to look for what has been resurrected. There's a great quote by Thomas A. Kempis. It goes, "When you feel that all is lost, sometimes the greatest gain is ready to be had." You see, God doesn't do magic. God does miracles. So expect miracles. Let God do what only God can do. Let God raise what only God can raise. Don't look for what has been buried. Don't look for what has been put to rest. Stop looking for God there. He left the clothes there lying by themselves because he's not there. And that loss in your life, whatever it may be, that loss has been conquered. It's been turned around. It's been turned on its head. And what you thought was the end is just the beginning. He's shown up somewhere else. So go and meet him where you do not expect him. Listen, don't stoop down for what God has resurrected. Don't stoop down for what God has lifted up. Look up. Look at what God has made new and what he has lifted up, defeated, resurrected, conquered, and risen, because he is risen indeed. And he is very much risen in you, through you, and for you. Amen?
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.